You're listening to EVH and Gear TV, brought to you by Design 39 Media. Visit design39media.com for all your website, photography, and video production needs. Microphones for EVH and Gear TV are provided by Rode Microphones, and official Van Halen merchandise is provided by VanHalenStore.com. And now, here's your host from Ontario, Canada, EVH artist Eric Broadbent.
Hey everyone, happy Sunday to you all. Beautiful Sunday here in southwestern Ontario, Canada. Welcome to the Helix Hour. We are live, and joining us all the way, and I mean all the way from South Africa, guitarist Nick Rush. Nick, how are you?
Eric, I'm very good on yourself, man.
Good.
What a pleasure to be doing this.
Oh, it's a pleasure's all mine as well, too. And I know the fans over here and our viewers in the live chat are going to be in for a great treat. We've got some, you know, do some guitar playing for us today. Going to have a preset later on as well for you, from you. So looking forward to that. And we're going to have some Helix discussion, some HX Stomp, Revstar guitar discussion. Let's just kind of warm up our audience here and tell everybody a little bit about yourself. One of the things, I didn't know about the biggest band that you were in with Watershed. Yes. Share a little bit about that and tell people some of the accolades that you've, achieved with that band.
So Watershed was, it is still a band that is going. They kind of broke out in about 2000 in South Africa. And subsequently had a very, very, very big hit with an incredibly poppy piano ballad called Indigo Girl, a very big hit in Germany. There was a German DJ out holidaying in Cape Town, South Africa, and he heard the song, got it playlisted. I don't think he was a DJ, actually. I think he was a programming manager or something at the station, SWR3. And he got the song playlisted. It blew up over there, and I think it charted at number 2 on that station nationally in Germany. So that was 2000. I was born in 1980, so I'm 38 years young at the moment. But 38 is the new 28, in my humble opinion. So I've been gigging professionally since 1996 as a schoolgoer, and then I had the opportunity to audition for Watershed in 2003. Now, the singer was aware of my guitar playing because he used to live around the corner from me, and the band used to have rehearsals and come and watch my band playing at one of our Sunday gigs. I was in a band called Black Ice, which had a 10-hour repertoire, so we could do, you know, a party night on a Friday night, and then a wedding on a Saturday, and then a classic rock vibe on a Sunday. So he used to come and watch, and we'd bump into each other over the years, and eventually they were between guitarists, and he was like, "This is the guy." Audition. So that was about 2003. He gave me all the songs that he wanted me to learn for the audition, or for the two releases, and I learned every song on both CD. I kind of kept the guitar parts that I thought were noteworthy, and I replaced what I thought was nondescript with my own personal flavor, and that's what got me the gig out of about 15, 20 other guys.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was a culture shock for me because I was used to, you know, just being the dude on the stage in the pub or the club or the bar or whatever, and, you know, going straight to that bar to get a drink after the gig. And then all of a sudden, my first four shows were in four different countries. We did a show here in South Africa, a show in Swaziland. The next show was at Shepherd's Bush Empire in the UK, and then a two-week national tour of Germany on a nightliner. And I didn't understand what was going down and how big the band was, because I would go to the bar. The first time I went to the bar after the first gig in Germany, all of a sudden people were kind of like shaking because the dude that they just saw, the so-called, you know, rock, big band rock dude, whatever the case may be, this celebrity.
Yeah.
And as a 23-year-old, it was quite a trip, man. So I was there from 2003 till 2011.
That's a good run. That's a really good run. And this is what I, what I understand on your bio, you had a couple gold and platinum records with the band. Is that correct?
Yes. So I personally was awarded 2 platinum and 3 gold for South Africa. So that's, you know, I've got under my name about 200,000 album, 250,000 albums sold.
Wow.
With that band, you know, awarded to me.
Yeah.
So that's a, yeah, they're all hanging in my bar.
And in today's day and age, it's so hard to do that. You know, it's very hard to get those numbers. It's now, you know, it's measured by downloads, and the sales are like physical sales are almost non-existent.
But you know what? I don't blame the record listening public for that. I blame the record companies for not jumping on board when the MP3 was invented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to move with technology, or otherwise it will surpass you and everything that you're doing and make you irrelevant. And that's kind of what happened. So it's more powerful for the artist nowadays.
Yeah.
To be in control of his career and to sort of be the gatekeeper for everything that goes down, because it's so easy to get your stuff out there.
That's right. Especially for the younger audiences too, that are just kind of starting out fresh now, whether they're kids or adults just getting into it now, whatever, you know, there's not the labels per se like we used to have. So now you're the independent, you're the manager, you're the booker, you're the marketing person, the salespeople. You have to wear many hats in today's society, and the internet does let you get out there to audiences that you might not have got to back in the day. Maybe some of these young bands couldn't afford to pick up a van and travel, you know, the countryside. Now you don't necessarily have to do it as much. You can travel via the internet.
Correct. And also, you know, what you brought up now to getting in a van and traveling, time moves a lot faster now with the internet and things the way they are. So, I mean, you know, I described my first experience of selling out 1,500 seater venues with this band and getting bigger and bigger and being on a Nightliner tour bus. And then the band didn't go back to Germany for about 6 years, which is a lifetime. So we ended up getting into a Mercedes Vito or a Mercedes Sprinter, all of us with all the gear and staying in backpackers and red light districts from four-star hotels to that, you know, just because it was, you know, necessary because the profile diminished that much over the course of 6 years. It's a lifetime in the industry.
I know it is. I know it might not seem like a lot to people. 6 years, you know, that's a blink, you know, it's a blink of an eye anymore, but really there is a span there for sure.
Yes.
One of the bands that I don't know a lot about the South African rock music scene, but I do know it's produced some good talent, obviously, like with Watershed and the music that you've been doing over there as well, on solo even. I was a big fan of Seether. My band got a chance to open for them one time, and it really influenced our sound. I really liked their sound. Throughout your traveling and touring, did you ever perform with them?
Personally, myself, I never, ever crossed paths with them. They were a band called Sarin Gas before they were Seether. Yep. Everybody knows that part of their story. So prior to my time in Watershed, there was a point in time where there was a management company out this side called Authentic Ideas. And I know a Watershed singer had crossed paths with them. Sean was actually very good friends with my wife, believe it or not. There was an alternative club here in South Africa called The Doors. And it was sort of the hub for everything rock, metal, and alternative. And my wife frequented it a lot and was very good friends with Sean and Dale.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're still going. I think they've maybe changed a couple members possibly, but I think they're still a current act.
Yeah, totally. You know, it was always Sean and Dale and whoever the drummer was from South Africa, but now, you know, they've settled on, I think, a good combination of people.
Good.
Yeah, and I'm a massive fan. Never had the pleasure of meeting Sean myself. We've got many, many, many mutual friends and acquaintances and you know, people, business associates over the years, but I've never had the pleasure myself.
And they'd probably
fantastic talent, man. Incredible songwriter. And I mean, I believe he uses like 14-gauge strings on his guitar at the moment.
Oh, come on.
Like, that guy's just a beast.
Monster.
Yeah.
Well, drop tuning too, sometimes that can help. But I mean, I don't think they drop down too much, you know, just a drop D as far as maybe drop D a half step down or something like that. But
I feel like there's a lot of drop C or C standard happening potentially on the, you know, on some of the heavier stuff. I stand to be corrected.
Yeah, no, that could make sense. Yep. And especially for that gauge of strings. So before we get into some of the digital stuff that we're going to be talking about today, can you share with us some of the guitar heroes that you had as a kid growing up and just kind of what got you on the path of guitar?
I started playing guitar because of the first song of the Diamonds and Pearls album by Prince.
Oh, right on.
Prince is the very reason that I play guitar. The song was called Thunder, and it was just an incredible song, I think, more than anything. And I hadn't heard anything like it before. And what there was a sort of like a dive bomb, but on a synth, and I thought it was a guitar.
Okay.
And that was so the other thing that's worth talking about is my father was a professional musician and composer in this country. You guys have got Miss America, we've got Miss South Africa. My father composed the music for a couple of Miss South Africa specials and one or two movies and did a lot of stuff. So I was born into the industry. So there was always an acoustic guitar lying under my bed for as long as I can remember. And then one day I said to him, Dad, what will you say to me if I said I wanted to play electric guitar? He said, I'll learn acoustic first. Mm-hmm. So I did. Yeah. An Ibanez Concord, which was a Gibson J200 copy.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. Yes.
So that obviously having a musical family had a huge inspiration on you. And I think that's pretty cool too, how he says grab the acoustic first because, you know, yes. As much as we want to jump out and be rock stars, there are some fundamentals.
Totally.
And learning on acoustic, you know, depending on how it was set up in that too, can be some good discipline and some, getting those fingers strong.
I can still remember how long it took me to just get that F bar happening, that F bar chord happening on an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
Man, it was rough. It was rough. So the Prince is the reason I play guitar. I would say my biggest influences. So now I'd like to make a distinction here between my favorite guitarist and my at the moment and my biggest influences.
Yes, as it a can be different so
as a
for
player,
sure.
As a player, people have told me that I know that I've got my own identity as a guitarist, and people can spot me when I'm doing my thing. But it's a combination of a little bit of Van Halen, a little bit of Zakk Wylde, a little bit of Gary Moore. A little bit of Steve Morse.
Nice.
Most definitely a bit of Hendrix and Prince. My favorite guitarists at the moment, though, are Sinister Gates and Jason Hook.
Very cool. I love Jason Hook as well, too. Yes, very much.
Yes. Helix artist as well, apparently.
Yeah.
And I just found this out, yes.
And Jason, an EVH artist as well, because as you know, I do a program over on EVH and Gear TV station as well, too. Well, same channel here. But and he's EVH artist there. So he's using Helix. I think he's got two Helix racks, probably one for backup, and a rack of two or three of the EL34 heads. So, yeah, great artist.
So those EVH amps are special. I tracked a guitar solo with that very amp that's sitting behind you that I can see on the screen there.
Yeah.
It's Marshall on steroids.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
Yeah. So, but for my purposes, what I've got sitting here next to me is the Marshall JVM 410 HJS. So this is the Joe Satriani signature model.
Beautiful amp. I love that thing.
Yes.
Obviously,
yes.
Joe Satriani.
I love the fact that there's noise gates instead of reverbs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm privileged enough to be endorsed by Marshall Amplification South Africa through the agency here. So I'm a Marshall Amplification artist here in South Africa. So I started out with the JVM 205, then tried it the JVM 410, the normal one, and then settled on the Satriani head. There's just the clean channel and the way they revoice the drive channels, it compresses a lot less. It's a big, fat, open sound. This plus the Helix for me is a dream combo.
Well,
Yamaha guitars.
There you go. Later on in the program, we're going to talk exactly how you're using Helix with that. And I know a lot of people that watch the show are always curious to see how if you're doing a fork cable method, through the loop, all that kind of stuff. So we'll get to that in a bit. But first, congratulations on being a Marshall artist. That's fantastic. And that amplifier, I'd love to try one someday. I think one of my local stores carries one because I had the JSX head and combo before. And I really enjoyed that, you know, I mean, from
PV. That was PV, correct?
Yeah, from PV, yeah. And I know maybe he had some problems with it, and that's why he went back to his good old Marshall, which was always kind of his best sound, I thought. You know, I think it really, his tone was right there.
Yeah, and it's funny how I skipped Joe Satriani as one of my influences. The first time I ever performed an instrumental on stage, because I started gigging professionally in 1996, professionally. Mm-hmm. So I was attending school and doing paid gigs.
Yeah.
And, you know, I took to electric guitar very fast, and it was kind of a gimmick for a long time. I was this young kid that could play his ass off. And the first instrumental song I ever performed on stage was Surfing with the Aliens.
Oh, wow. And that's not an easy song of his either. You know, he's got, you know, some of the little easier, Always With Me, Always With You, maybe,
yes.
You know, other ones like that as well too. But that's not an easy song.
So here's the thing about myself as a guitarist is that I definitely suffered from attention deficit disorder as a child. And I think to a large degree, I still do as an adult. That's why I've got so many different things going on career-wise. Mm-hmm. But I always lost interest in trying to learn every single little thing and every little nuance note for note. I would pick the main themes and the main melodies and the stuff that you can't leave out.
Right.
You know, the signature things. But then, you know, I learned how to improvise through replacing the stuff that I didn't have the attention span to learn with stuff of my own.
Yeah, and then that creates your tone. That's how you eventually create your own sound. Yep.
Yes.
I said this just to a guest the other night. I was interviewing Courtney Cox over on the EVH show, and we're talking about Paul Gilbert. Paul Gilbert is known for saying this, you know, like you would think someone of that caliber, like the Paul Gilberts or the Joe Satrianis, you'd think that they would never have a problem learning like an Eddie Van Halen solo or a Frank Zappa piece or this or that, whatever the case may be, some old classic rock, but they did. And because they struggled learning those things note for note, like they would do just like you, they get like kind of like the cliches and get those down, but they would leave out the other parts. And that is essential for what made them who they are today.
Yeah, totally, totally. And I can understand that. And I think it's a very valuable thing for any young aspiring artist and guitarist out there to be cognizant of the fact that you don't have to be a clone in order to learn from it. The learning is done through the experimentation. You know, learning other people's guitar solos is incredibly valuable and it'll give you a vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
But once you start understanding what they're doing and why they're doing it, you know, then the world is your oyster, really.
That's right. And isn't it funny? Would you agree with this too? As a musician get better over the years, like, you know, let's say a couple of years go by, you've learned so much more technique, and then you go a little further into life, 10 years later, and you know, we've always got these solos that are the pinnacle solos. You know, we always go back, like maybe some classic David Gilmour or Eddie Van Halen, or maybe some crazy Jimi Hendrix, or maybe even let's go some crazy, crazy stuff like Yngwie Malmsteen and Paul Gilbert and all that kind of Jason Becker stuff. And like maybe we've been chasing this solo our whole lives, but as we get a little bit better, we keep going back to it like, oh, now I can do that little part. And then another 10 years go by and you can figure out another part.
Trilogy by Yngwie Malmsteen. Okay. So apart from being a professional gigging musician, and you know, so there's, when I say I'm a professional gigging musician, so I do a lot of corporate work. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of solo acoustic stuff. I do a lot of gigs with bands that book me. I'm most definitely am going to be putting together, well, I am in the process of launching an original project, doing all the groundwork now to start releasing things in late January, early February. I'm a promoter as well. I put on a couple of really successful shows, and two of those shows are tribute shows that I put on. The one was a tribute to Pink Floyd and the Doors.
Nice.
Another one was called Six String Stories, which was the history. You know, there's 8 decades of recorded electric guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Like the last, you know, so starting from Apache with the Shadows all the way up to, you know, now with whatever's going on, just the biggest guitar hits ever. The Money for Nothings, the Europas, the Jump by Van Halen, et cetera, et cetera. I don't want to give the whole repertoire away,
but I thought
there has to be a part in the show where I just really get to rip. And, I played Trilogy live.
Oh man. Wow.
I had to sit down for it on the drum riser.
Sure.
And it wasn't the entire song because I also didn't want to lose the audience's attention.
Yeah.
Because there are people that freak out for that. But you know, I'm not interested in creating music to please guitar players.
Right.
I really want to take what I do to the widest audience possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, what you're saying, that guitar solo that you keep going back to, Trilogy, I finally got it.
Good. Well, that's fantastic. That's the thing. It's nice to impress the guitar players because then you know, they kind of put you up on a pedestal, but the guitar players aren't just necessarily the biggest consumer of shows. You know, you're getting some non-musicians. You know, people want to hear melodies and something they can dance to and kind of bring them back to that moment in their life, maybe when they got married or they're dating and that music was popular to them.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Let's jump over the chat and say hi to a bunch of people real quick. And when we come back, what I want, you can think about this as I'm saying hi to people, and there might be questions for you too, is, you know, you've been in the scene for such a long time now that you've seen technology really, really advanced, you know, going from, you know, tube amps, solid state amps, any combination of both, hybrid, you know, and then getting to some modeling and rack processors, and it's come and gone full circle many, many times. But I'd like you to kind of share us the story of you growing up in the scene, you know, coming up to now where we are now with, you know, using Helix.
My gear story.
Awesome. Yeah, give us a gear story, and we're going to say hi real quick. So Mike Francis is here. Nice to see you, John Kerry. He was asking what type of music you play, and this was before the show, so I was sharing that with him. Kai Down is here, Smoke Knop, I think. Hey, I'll look forward to this. Just got our power restored from Michael. Frank Rashad from Line 6 is here. Always great to have him. Carlos Santon is here. Kai Down, Polly D, Quentin James, Nocturnal Butterfly, my better half, running the chat efficiently every week. Thank you so much for that. Anton Blemeth is here. Good evening. Good evening, all. David Ennis. And I scroll too fast, like I always do, and it really jumps on me. Scroll down a little bit further. Here we have Ralph Niederlander is here as well. And Carlos saying, Prince was an amazing guitarist, really great chops. You're not the first person who's come on here and really said some wonderful things about Prince. Probably a lot of us underrate him as a guitar, a phenomenal, phenomenal guitarist. I love him as well.
Absolutely. I mean, there's been a, you know, on Facebook, my side, there's been a clip doing the rounds since his unfortunate passing. There was that footage of him playing While My Guitar Gently Weeps on stage with Tom Petty and all those guys. It's a really popular viral clip. And man, it's just the pure feeling and emotion and because I think because he was a multi-instrumentalist, he didn't think like a guitarist 100% of the time.
Right.
So therefore didn't play guitar like a guitarist all the time.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, man, totally. You know, he's also an incredibly underrated guitar player, in my humble opinion. And I'll tell you why. And I'm probably going to get crucified for this by a lot of people. But Richie Sambora,
okay,
in my humble opinion, is incredibly underrated. Because you can't imagine any of those songs. And I used to do a lot of Bon Jovi covers in bands previously. You know, those songs without those guitar solos just don't happen, man.
I know. No,
you're not out of line. And I think that's what's important. I think that's what's very important.
Yep. You're not out of line by saying that at all. You know, I was kind of introduced to Bon Jovi because, you know, it was the whole, you know, Van Halen, Bon Jovi, you know, all that whole scene, right? And obviously they even toured together at one point in the 90s overseas. It was kind of a co-headlining thing at that time. So obviously they were neck and neck. But I'm definitely a really, really good guitar player. And I don't think he gets the credit that he deserves.
I don't think he really cares about getting the credit he deserves. Though,
no, I know that.
So many millions of albums later. But I mean, yeah, man, that guy's got some licks. He's got some licks.
Yeah. I got to see him once. The only time once ever at NAMM, him and Oriente were, you know, I guess they were an item at the time. And they were jamming at one of the outside events at NAMM. That was pretty cool. And I was only a few feet away. So getting him to watch him shred it up, it was a real treat.
How was his tone?
Not too bad.
In the room?
It was outdoor. So it was outdoor kind of thing. So from what I heard, it sounded pretty decent. I mean, you know, you're having a couple of beers too, you never really know. Your ears might be a little inebriated as well too. But I mean, from what I remember, it was quite good. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. It sounded like a Strat through a Marshall. I don't know what he was using for outboard gear at the time there, but it was nice and loud and piercing. Didn't sound too bad. So.
Good.
Yeah. Not
good
too bad.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah. Ralph Niederlander Jr. is here as well. Martin Ignacio is here. And they're saying, holy crap, that's a large JVM 410. Larry Olson is here. DJ Astrica as well. Michael Easter, Prince and Satriani. Great stuff. I like this guy already. So yeah, you're winning some people over just with influences. That's pretty nice. Kai Down says, just watch Purple Rain Improv. Whoa. That's okay. That's okay. I know you're sitting close to the app. Alex Knievel says, learn the hook and add your personality, the key to a good cover artist for sure. So I'm going to highlight it there. And I'll come back to say some more, comments from the chat. So I appreciate it. Scott Roos is here as well too. He's been playing through the Power Cabin Helix, so he got distracted. That's an easy rabbit hole to get down for sure. So let's throw it back to you. I was mentioning the fact that, you know, you've been through all the years of amplifiers and technology growing and changing. And, you know, some people go back to, you know, when MIDI was first invented, right? But let's talk about coming up through the ranks and then discovering Helix, how you discovered it, and share your story that way with us.
So the Helix is not the first piece of Line 6 gear that I've owned.
Okay.
Prior to the Helix, a good, I'd say, I mean, we're talking about 2008, maybe 10 years ago. I had I think it was the X3 Live that I was gigging with and going direct. My gear story starts with an Ibanez and a Marshall Valstate 8080 as a teenager, and that was my gigging rig for a very long time.
Okay.
I ended up hot rodding the Ibanez with a Tone Zone and a PAF Pro, and wired them for coil splitting. And then that guitar stayed with me. It was a black Ibanez RG470. That stayed with me right up until the first year or two into Watershed. The amps up until then had been that Valstate 8080, and then that wasn't cutting it anymore. The band was getting better gigs. So I worked through one set of school holidays and sorted out payments for a JCM 600 combo.
Okay.
And then the gigs got better and better, so I needed something bigger and better. So I think when I was in my matric year, so I'd say that's 12th grade. I bought myself with the gigging money. I bought myself a JMP1 with the
preamp.
The preamp, but with the Marshall power amp as well.
Gotcha.
The 50/50.
Yeah, nice.
And a 4x12. So it was the JMP1 and the JFX1.
Gotcha.
So I was kind of going digital already. I mean, it still had the preamp tube in the JMP1, mm-hmm. but, and man, it was a fantastic sound. Then I went through a period of time in the beginning of Watershed where I was just playing a PRS straight into an amp, mm-hmm. no pedals, no nothing. Dirty all the time.
Yep.
Volume off for clean, and that's it. And eventually I got, crapped out by the singer, leader of the band at some point. He was like, you got to get some effects or something.
Okay.
You can't just be that guy all the time. And I was like, why can't I be that guy all the time? But anyway, so then I went and got hold of a Digitech GNX4, which was a very short-lived thing, and it really wasn't great. So then I ended up settling on the Line 6 X3 Live and going direct for most of Watershed. And then I left that man in 2011, gigged with all sorts of stuff, chopping, changing amps, mm-hmm. Effects units. I had a TC Electronics Nova system for quite a while. But then this Helix got announced, and I had a love affair with Line 6 already. And when this, I've been obsessing about this piece of gear for an incredibly long time, and it investigated many other options, including the Headrush and the Kemper, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the thing for me was that the Nova system was the best effects unit that I'd used to date for the four cable method.
Okay.
I tried the Boss GT100 and all that. I don't want to I'm not trying to slag any products here, but I tried many, many multi-effects units with the four cable method that did not make the grade at all.
Gotcha.
And the one that came closest was the TC Electronics Nova system, but it's still on its input. You could still drive the whole thing too much and then end up distorting digital effects. It was a fine line between, sorry, I just see my computer battery is dying there. Let me just plug this in.
No problem.
There we go.
Perfect.
So the Nova system, but it still wasn't it. And I tried a whole bunch of other things that had come out since then, and then tried the Helix and I was sold, man. Absolutely sold. Direct as well. I use a direct a lot because I'm in a lot of Afro pop corporate bands that, sometimes there's about four or five singers on stage and a brass section. There's a lot going on. So
no room for a big amplifier.
Direct just makes it that much easier for the engineer. And I mean, you'll hear the direct sound just now with an impulse response. Sometimes I'm not even using that impulse response. I'm just using a preset that I've made with using the Archon clean channel, but you'll hear about. So yeah, Line 6, I loved what they did with the X3 Live, and I used to, it had a feature where you could combine two different amp tones, basically tone one and tone two. And right. I used to love the sound of a clean tone mixed with a really crisp, biting,
dirty tone.
Dirty tone, yes. Sparkly. I like sparkly. Yeah. Yeah. I like sparkly sounds.
That's cool. Yeah.
And yeah, so I was. I'm also a Dodario Planet Waves artist here in South Africa, and same guys that, you know, bring that stuff into South Africa have got the agency for Helix. So,
oh, okay.
Incredibly blessed to be representing Line 6 in South Africa. Man, it's the most genius piece of gear I've ever owned. I can't say enough good things about it and all the things you can do with it. And I'm sure we're going to talk about all the stuff that I do, do with it. But, that's my gear story. Played many different guitars. I've had Les Pauls, I've had Paul Reed Smiths. And then, 2011, I came on board as a Yamaha guitar artist.
I might've lost you there. Hopefully we got you back. We might have lost Nick just for a moment. Hopefully we have him back. Are you still there, Nick, if you can hear us? We froze on him. I might try to call him back here in a moment. Nick, have we got you there? Okay, one second here. We're going to try to call him back here. See if we can get this here. You got to love technology, right? We'll hang up with him here. Okay, we'll call him right back. Let's try that again. He might not have had his computer plugged into the wall as well. When he plugged that power supply in, he might not have had it plugged in, and he might have actually died there. So we'll give him a second here. Okay, I'm going to send him a message to try me back. I'll say try me back. And we'll hop over. As soon as he comes back on, we'll hop back over and get him to show us what he can do with Helix, both direct and with his Marshall as well, too. Hopefully we get him back there. Okay. While we're waiting for that as well, I'll continue down with the chat. Scott Roos, Chris Robertson, Prince had such an attack and bite to his playing. Agreed, 100%. Did he ever? Kai Down says my favorite Prince clip has to be the Purple Rain in the Rain. Mississippi Treasure Hunter is here, and Scott says now listening through the power cab. That's another thing you can do. You can use your power cab as an audio interface or actually play your YouTube tones and MP3s and all kinds of stuff back through it. Very, very cool. Scott was actually playing one of my presets, apparently. That's fantastic. Chad Husky is here. Soda Pop, Hey Eric, Nocturnal Butterfly, Todd Graff is here. Johnny Lee, dudes. And we'll get Nick back for sure. I'm sure it's just a technical glitch on his end. We'll get him back. Calvin Alston, Nick Rush, you're a legend. Soda Pop, does Yamaha stay in tune good? I do know they stay in tune very, very good. The same one, I think it's the same one that Nick was playing there. Jason Sedites had one here in the studio last week for the Helix Hour. Got a chance to play that. I love the guitar, and they do stay in tune nice. Kai Down, good to see so many of the Helix Facebook group regulars here. I'm very thrilled to have the turnout that we do. Let me see here. As Nocturnal says, if you're new here, please feel free to subscribe and hit the notification bell. Don't forget to leave a thumbs up. Thank you. Carlos said, I was skeptical of the Helix hype before I got one. I picked up and used one at my local store, and within 5 minutes of plugging it in at home, I knew I was keeping it, no going back. Paul Shedden, very nice to have you here, Paul. I finally got password right for sign-in. Great show, but as always, thank you. And I was just demonstrating and talking about Paul's Mission Engineering Expression Pedal yesterday. I was doing a live jam late last night, and I'm using it for a wah in Helix now that is 100% completely replaced my EVH signature wah that I love to death. I'm just using the Weeper, and that's built into Helix, and I'm using the Mission Engineering Expression Pedal, and I would just like to stripe it black and yellow, and I would feel like it's the EVH wah. It looks exactly, it sounds exactly like it. People were really commenting on the wah, too, of Helix. Let me see here. Franco Schott, we are beyond proud. Nick is our South African artist, and he really represents and flies that flag very, very well for the company. I think he's an ambassador for sure. Martin Ignacio says, who's really intrigued about the controversial edition coming out this week in the new firmware? Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. We're anxious to see what that is. Old Metal Dude, what's up? Love my Helix LT and had it for a month now. Sounds great. A great show, Eric, as usual. Let me see. Soda Pop, technical difficulties like Paul Gilbert. Yeah. Martin says, we need to be hearing Spanish flea right now, or Spanish fly. Quentin James. Okay, so I'm gonna highlight it there. I'm gonna try to call him back again. I'm thinking it's more than likely just a power. Oh, here he is. I got him. I almost had him. Okay, we got him. We have him back. When in doubt, improvise on. Okay, I'm trying him back. Okay, hopefully we'll have him. At least I was able to take care of the chat this time around. Here we go. We got him. You there, Nick?
I am indeed. My humblest apologies.
That's okay. Was it power issue?
It was a power issue.
I figured so. Okay, yeah, we got you. Let me jump back over. Let me guess, you plugged into your thing into your computer, but it wasn't plugged into the wall?
Exactly right.
There we go. See, I'm becoming almost a seasoned pro now, how to deal with little trains coming off the tracks.
Right. I would imagine that the potential is there for that to happen doing what you do. I mean, it's a really brave undertaking doing this whole thing, man.
It's absolutely stupid.
From your side.
It's absolutely stupid. I'd be so much better to do these pre-recorded. But the great experience with this is kind of bringing you in, and each week, you and all of my guests, we introduce them to the family in the live chat. The live chat's where it's at. You know, we really like those people to be a part of the show. And so live is the only way to do it. But I'm telling you, that's why this is going gray and going grayer and grayer and grayer every day.
I can imagine.
It's all good.
I can imagine.
I knew we'd get you back. I was very confident. It was all good. So what we're going to do now, once you're ready to jump over, I'm going to let you take it away from here. And I'm going to let people know, usually during the show, we give away an exclusive Helix Hour exclusive preset. Now, we are also going to be doing that today from Nick, but we're going to be providing them after the show. And I think there's going to be two. Is that correct?
That is correct. There's going to be a four cable method preset that I've put together with a block for an impulse response.
Okay.
And then the direct preset that I use quite often.
Perfect.
So the four cable method is specifically for the JVM that I use, but I mean, you know, the foot switches are there and they're set up to talk to any amp. Basically the cool thing about the JVM is that you can send program changes and it can learn whatever you're sending. So, you know, it would be as simple as going into command center and changing the MIDI program change number to whatever number it needs to be for the particular amp that you're using.
Perfect.
And there's a split path. So, you know, the four cable method using the quarter inch out back into the effects return. The usual way, and then there's a split out where the whole signal goes to an impulse response and out the XLRs.
Okay, that's perfect. So what we'll do, folks, after the show is over, first of all, before I say that, Ralph Niederlander Jr. did a $10 super chat. Thank you so very, very much. Very appreciative. I cannot thank you enough for that. It does help the programming here quite a bit. It buys me hair dye to dye the mustache is what it does, so I don't look so stressed out. But so we're going to provide the download links after the show. So come back after this video is up and the show's over, and there'll be download links to download two of the presets through Dropbox. So I'm going to turn it over to you, and I'm just going to let you take it away, and you can tell us what you're doing, what you're demonstrating, and we'll get to enjoy some great guitar playing.
Okay, cool. So the first thing that I'm going to do is, I'm just going to show you what's going on here. That is the back of the Helix right now.
Okay.
There's quite a bit of stuff going on there. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's going to happen right now is the amp. So I've got my microphone set up here. This is all going through a Yamaha AGO6 interface. So this is just the amp in the room sound. So now I'm changing channels on the amp.
With Helix.
With the Helix. So I've got a couple of, you know, so what I've got set up here is basically I'm running it in 10 stomp mode.
Okay.
So I've got channel 1, channel 2, channel 3, and channel 4 assigned to foot switches 8, 9, 10, and 11.
Okay.
And then I've got the 70s chorus happening for my modulation. So I'm just going to hit the clean channel over here. I'm actually going to give it a little bit more. How's that volume? Is that all right?
That's perfect.
So, and then I've got a Just a bit of a slapback delay happening.
Beautiful.
Then I've also got another delay, which is I think this is the dotted eighth. And then I've got a slightly longer, I'm going to turn the chorus off. I've got a slightly longer transistor tape set to a quarter note, which I'd like to put on along with the eighth note. It's just kind of nice and lush.
Absolutely beautiful. Beautiful.
Yes. And then what I've got going on as well, which is pretty cool, is I've got a parametric EQ set up that I can switch on or off on any channel just for a little bit of a lead bump. So let's hypothetically call this a lead tone. So what I've got is channel one clean, channel two slightly dirty. That's just dry. Channel three, now we're talking rock and roll. And then channel four is... that type of really, really heavy, really, really cool.
Yeah.
So I'll put... This would be what I would... Well, not... what it would be. This is what I use for a lead tone on any of those channels. I'll hit the parametric EQ and the transistor tape delay at the set to quarter notes. And so here's the, that's without EQ.
I love it.
And it gives a sound engineer no choice but to notice that there's a guitar solo happening.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe you should rise the favorite, you know. I like to set my lead boosts quite drastically.
Okay.
Because often in situations where you're not the focus of the show. So my tribute shows and the stuff that I do as an artist myself, you know, it's about me and my guitar playing, and you know, I'll handpick the engineers and they know what the deal is. But when you are in another environment playing in another situation with different people and, you know, that it's revolving engineers and band members, et cetera, you kind of need to give the guy a heads up. Here's the guitar solo, or here's the part that needs to be heard. So it'll either pop out if he's got you set nicely in the mix, or he'll notice that there's some guitar happening all of a sudden and he'll know to ride the fader a bit more.
Exactly.
That comes
idea.
From working in a theater environment where... I was a musical director for the group of theaters here in South Africa called the Barnyard Theater. You know, there were a bunch of musical directors. You know, there was a musical director per show. There were six theaters. There still are six theaters, and they rotate costs. You're talking about like four or five singers, tracks, keys, bass, drums, a lot of sonic real estate coming through that PA. So... whatever help you can get. So I've become a master at gain staging from here to infinity to make sure that the right thing is happening at the right time in the PA system. So that would be, I'm just going to turn the mix down a little bit on this tape. So what I've also got going on here, which is very cool, I've got I love the fact that on the foot switches you can assign whether it's latching or momentary.
Yeah, I do that with the flanger a lot.
So I've set up, I've actually called it on the foot switch label. I've called it fake harmonic. So.
I like that. So it's a pitch. It's like a pitch so wham.
Yeah, no, it's just, it's the whammy. Whammy sets to, I've set to toe and heel to plus 12.
Okay.
And then after that, directly, there's an EQ that is set to a high cut. So. So without the high cut, it becomes really, you know, fake sounding.
But, true.
You know, in the right situation. Should actually put this on the floor. Let me do that for a second.
Sure.
I'll show you in a real life environment or in a real life situation. I've just had it on a little
stand.
A little, yes. So yeah, man. So
it's almost like an Eddie Van Halen tap, out, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So.
People are going to love this preset.
Yes. Yes.
That is absolutely fantastic.
So now what's cool about this preset as well is, I still am a massive fan of a microphone on a guitar cab.
Mm-hmm.
And a very good friend of mine turned me onto this Shure SM27, which is just an incredibly good mic for picking up the actual sound of what is happening in the cab and make it, you know, on a desk with EQ flat.
Mm-hmm.
If I've put it on the right spot in the cab, it sounds like the cab in the PA.
Wow.
But, and I had this problem last night. I was playing in a small club. This mic was really close to the subs.
Oh.
So there was, and it's a condenser microphone. So it ended up not being usable. So this is where this patch comes in really handy. I'm going to put the amp on bypass now.
Okay.
And I don't know if I'm telling anybody here anything they already know or if anybody's done this on your show. But, you know, just it's for me, it's about real life application.
Mm-hmm.
and how this can work. So just for this preset is going to come to everybody via Dropbox without this gain block that I've set up here. So as soon as I bypass it, I'm going to be now sending you direct amp tone through the impulse response.
Okay.
Via the XLR out.
Perfect.
Needed a gain down a little bit. Sorry, I was overdriving my channel there.
Yep.
It just makes sense, man.
It does.
Makes sense.
I'm only getting a mono feed. I only have one ear in at the moment, and what I'm hearing is beautiful. I can't wait to play some of this back through my monitors here. It's going to sound beautiful. It sounds great mono, even.
Yeah, great. Yeah, totally. Well, you know, I also find that in real life situations, often you're just going to be getting one line.
I know.
So I set up everything in mono. I live in mono when it comes to live application. You know, recording in studio and doing demos and stuff like that is a different story, but generally speaking, mono is the way.
That's the thing. I think if a lot of us could get spoiled very easily, and it's not all the venues that we're going to play are going to have the, you're lucky if you can even get lines at the front of the stage to begin with in some venues.
Yes.
And then the fact, okay, well, look, now you're asking for stereo, dude. And if your life and your performance depends on stereo, and all of a sudden all you've got is mono now, it's going to separate the men from the boys for sure. you know, or the Absolutely. Pros. I shouldn't say that, the pros from the amateurs, because, you know, obviously women musicians as well, too. But the fact is we can't rely on stereo all the time.
Unfortunately not. Yeah. And unfortunately, and I mean, also, I mean, you know, unless the audience member is standing dead center in front of the FOH,
yeah.
You're going to be hearing one sound. You know, it's, ping pong delays, I'm sure, are incredible if you're standing right there. And I mean, it's a trip in the headphones.
It is.
But, you know, I want people on either side of the stage to be hearing what I'm doing.
That's right. And one of the things I learned about having, I have two of the Line 6 power cabs now, but for the longest time I had one. And, you know, I was yes. building all my presets in a stereo environment just because I could, you know, and it was nice. And then, but I do say that it translated very nice to a mono environment. You know, like I didn't feel like it was like I couldn't hear a certain thing. You know, it wasn't one dimensional. The Helix still sounds beautiful in a mono environment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, man. I think maybe let me try and give you a little bit of this direct preset
okay.
as well.
Sure.
So, let me presets. Where am I here? There we go. DR. Okay, so now here's the other thing that's cool about this preset, Eric. Is that. No, that is incredibly loud. I've got this preset set up with a path for my in-ear monitors.
Okay, nice.
And I've got that preset set up, that path set up on the JVM four cable method.
Okay.
If you take a look at what's going on here, I've got two cables taped together, and I'm permanently running in-ears. I like cable, and I haven't had the chance to get
wireless.
You know, some disposable income and go wireless. Mm-hmm. So I'm using the Helix to power my in-ear monitors 100% of the time for the last 8 months.
And you're just coming out of the headphone jack? Is that yeah. right? Perfect. Wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah. yeah. So what's cool about the headphone jack is obviously it's set to multi, mm-hmm. which is whatever's coming out on quarter inch or XLR. I set it to, I go into global settings and set the headphones to only go out on XLR.
Okay.
And then I, you know, am patching out of the Helix into the desk via XLR, and I'm hearing Helix in my ears no matter what. So I take the send out of the desk into the mic input, just to avoid having to use a DI and a turnaround, et cetera, sure. et cetera. And I'd get the engineers to send me everything except guitar, because I've already got guitar in my ears.
That's perfect.
And it keeps things really, really clean.
That's great.
And that's how I live my life. It's a good vibe. So this is just a clean shell of an Archon with a tube screamer, and then another tube screamer, and then the lead EQ. I've got a whammy assigned to it. I don't know if it was the LMFAO had a big hit with that song Party Rockers.
Okay.
Party Rockers in the house tonight. It was a big hit here in South Africa. I'm sure it was internationally. So there's a synth thing happening in that song, which I like to, and I can't take the credit for it, because a very dear friend of mine is an absolute genius guitarist, and he loves the whammy vibe. So, you know, it's just to do cool things with a plus 12 in the whammy. And basically that is the synth line that's in the song. And, you
okay.
know, so I've got that. I've got it set up for the fake whammy as well, the fake harmonic. I use the mod chorus echo a lot in this preset. So I've actually got four delays in this. I've got the dotted eighth, which I use on its own a lot, but I've got a slight eighth, the mod chorus, and the quarter inch and the quarter note delay. Um,
That's absolutely beautiful. I love that.
It is.
I need to experiment more with the dotted eighth note delays and things like that. I'm struggling a little bit with it, but I'm going to start practicing it more because I like that sound a lot.
It's really cool, man. It's really cool. It's for me, it's just about ignoring the fact that there's a dotted eighth tonight happening and just going one and two and like keeping my eye on the hi-hats.
Yeah.
Because you can get, you know, it's that Nuno Betancourt Flight of the Wounded Bumblebee vibe is the ultimate example of that.
Ever. Yeah.
And also, oh, how did I forget to mention him earlier? What a,
incredible.
I can't even describe to you how much I love Nuno Betancourt's guitar playing.
Yeah, he's world renowned. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, phenomenal. Yeah. I got a couple other people jumping in the chat as well too. Zach Thong is jumping in here towards the end. China Guitar Septic, thanks for jumping in. You're enjoying your guitar playing, and I appreciate that. I think he's just getting back from GitCon, and some good stuff coming from that camp for sure. Let me see here. Sounds sweet, Nick. That's from Soda Pop. We're going to be wrapping up here in just a moment. I want to ask you a question. I know, as far as I know, the HX Stomp isn't over in South Africa as of yet. I think it's coming in a couple of weeks. But is that something that you're going to be taking a look at, or do you have one yet by chance?
I don't, unfortunately. The HX Stomp is, I don't know enough about it because since it's been announced, I literally haven't had any time to get onto social media or do any investigating because my life has just been a little bit manic, gig-wise, the last 2 weeks. But I believe it is literally a two-button Helix with just one DSP path. Am I correct?
Yeah, one DSP path, three buttons on it.
Right.
Six blocks.
Man, I can definitely see myself doing fly gigs with that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And also the HX FX.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah, you could power the two of them together and free up some DSP and things like that. So yeah, very cool. So it should be coming your way in the next few weeks. I posted some updates on what someone asked me a comment the other day, and Frank had forwarded me some information about the availability. So coming soon for sure. And around November here in Canada as well too. Someone else is mentioning, China Guitar Septic says, what about Vito Brada? Another guy that we don't talk enough about. Phenomenal player. White Lion.
White Lion?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't say that I've ever listened to a lot of White Lion in my life, but I'll take his word for it. I'm sure people know what they're talking about. Yeah,
he did get criticized a little bit as an Eddie Van Halen clone, but I mean, he certainly wasn't. He could do all that stuff. He even looked a little bit like Eddie Van Halen, and he just kind of retired, you know, professionally. He just kind of went into seclusion for a bit. The last I think anybody ever heard from him was an interview with Eddie Trunk about a North American journalist over here, and this was probably back a good 5-6 years ago, and he really hasn't been seen since. He's still alive and healthy as far as I know, but just went into seclusion.
Wow.
Kind of like Vinnie Vincent from Kiss, just kind of went underground and didn't hear anything from him again.
And all of a sudden he's out there. I mean, that guy was a scary guitar player, man. I remember hearing a couple of things that he did with Kiss, and I was like, what? Where does that speed come from? That is just ridiculous stuff.
Yeah, almost too much to the point where I think it was almost bugging Kiss because it was like, okay, we're you know, don't show us up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I get it.
Yeah. This is so awesome. I'm loving the tones today. Just before we wrap up, I just want to mention one thing here. My Nocturnal Butterfly is pretty much not only my better half here, she's pretty much the producer of the show now. She's just gave me some notes here. So I don't want to forget this because we're trying to give back to the communities and whatnot, and what we're going to try to do over the month of November. I'm not sure if they have it over there, but we have in North America, we have this thing called Movember, you know, and I'm sure it's worldwide. And we're going to give back, for men's research for prostate cancers and all those kind of things. So just a couple of things she's mentioned here. Exciting things coming up in store for here on EVH and Gear TV, and that includes all of our networks across the shows. November will soon be upon us, and with that being said, we are geared up to do some good. We'll have new mustache-themed merchandise in the Broadstash Boutique next month with 100% of the proceeds donated to Movember Canada, a nonprofit organization that raises funds and awareness for all the dads, brothers, sons, and friends in your life. In 2017, Mo Brothers and Mo Sisters from across Canada helped raise $17.2 million. The Movember Foundation is the only charity tackling men's health on a global scale year-round. So there we go, global. By 2030, they will reduce the number of men from dying prematurely by 25%. Together, we can make a difference for men's health and prostate cancer, testicular cancer, mental health, and suicide prevention. A few more surprises are on the agenda, but we'll get to those in another video as well. So all our merchandise in the Broadstash Boutique for the month of November or Movember, we will donate 100% of the proceeds to this charity. So I'll be sharing some more details on that as well too. So I'm just very thankful to have killer people like yourself come on the show. I'm very, very equally as blessed to have the killer people that we have in our chat. It's just a happy, happy family. So now you're part of this family. I'm sure you brought some of your friends and fans over today. So thank you very much for that. And I'm sure we're going to send a couple over your way. It's just a nice exchange and a pay it forward. I love this.
I can't tell you what an absolute honor it is for you to think me worthy of having an opinion at all about anything. I think it just blows my mind a little bit. So thank you very much. And big love to the entire Helix community out there. You know, Chad and those guys are doing a fantastic job. I was a member of that community for about a year and a half before I got my Helix.
That's cool.
That's testament to what a cool community it is, and what an incredible piece of gear the Helix is, that there's people that are that passionate about it. So I was gassing hard over this thing for a long time before it got to me.
I wasn't
and,
a member.
And a big shout out to Frank Ricciotti as well. Is that how you say his name?
Rashad. Yeah, yours close enough.
Rashad.
Yeah.
Frank Rashad. Yeah. You know, I had a bit of an issue with the Helix that I had in the beginning, and you know, I got hold of him and they sent. They said, "We're sending you one. Send the other one back when it arrives." And I mean, that was from where you guys are to Africa. I mean, it was about 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
And I cannot stress how important it is for us as artists and as, you know, professional gigging musicians to know that there is that type of customer support and care, actual real care, giving a damn, that comes from Line 6 is just, I can't say enough good things about it, man.
We see it every day as well too in the forums. Now, I wasn't a member near as long as you before getting the product. I was only a member for about a month or two before getting the product. And I get this question asked a lot, so in two different ways. I just had a comment on one of my videos recently, you know, someone saying, "Eric, what's better if I want to buy Helix or this or this or this or this?" And I'm be honest with them. I'll say I can't give you an honest answer because I haven't played brand X, Y, Z, you know, blah blah blah. I can just say what I love of this one. And I also get people that say, "Well, why don't you do a shootout between brand X, Y, and Z, and whatever else?" And like I tell people, you know what? There's a million great YouTubers out there doing those shootout videos. More power to them. I can't really compete with those guys or girls anyways. They're doing a great job in that thing. So keep doing the comparison videos. I just feel so, you know, at home with the family. Like you say, it feels like a family. The support is there. There's no reason to look elsewhere. Yes. People start looking elsewhere, I think, sometimes when they're like, well, you know, customer service sucks and the product's not necessarily so good. That's why they start to look at other companies. When you're treated as, you know, as like a family, why would you want to leave?
Absolutely. And I can't, you know, I've been happy with my gear setup with, you know, with the Yamaha guitars and the Helix and the Marshall. I literally haven't gassed over anything for a good year now.
Isn't that a great feeling?
What it allows you to do is just focus on what's important. That is playing.
I know.
And gigging and getting stuff done.
Yep.
You know,
a real world playing guitar.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So I think it's worth pointing out that I just turned the master volume on the Helix down significantly.
Okay.
I don't know if, is that coming through the mic?
Yep, coming through, yep.
So that's a, if I take this out to my ears right now, That's an incredibly good tone at a very low volume.
Yeah, bedroom level, pretty much.
And there's a lot to be said for that as well. That when I switch the effects loop on and the Helix is in the chain, my tone improves.
Yeah.
Even if everything's bypassed.
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Take us away with a little solo and we'll call it a day.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me, Eric. It's been an absolute honor, man. Thank you.
that was just all kinds of sassiness. Yeah. That's great. Oh man, people are loving it in the chat. This was great. A real inspiration. And that's, I don't know if I mentioned this already, and I'm one of these people that sometimes repeat myself because I'm so many things going all over the place. But I really like one of the things of the show where we get to discover sometimes some new artists. There might be some people that haven't discovered you from over here. I know a lot of people have from what I see in the chat, but sometimes people, they find new people from these shows, and I'm blessed to be able to, I'm blessed to find another guitar player to that inspires me. So thank you so much for everything you do.
Thank you so much, Eric. Really, from the bottom of my heart, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
No problem. Listen, I'm going to say goodbye to you off the air, so don't go away. We'll say goodbye. But everyone, thank you so very much. We have Nick's links down below in the description. We've also put them throughout in the chat here earlier. Nocturnal Butterfly did that. Your Facebook music page. So go have a look at that and give him a like over there. And to follow Nick, everything he's doing through that Facebook page. If you're new here, once again, too, please throw a subscription my way. I'd be working very hard to keep you here as a subscriber. And thumbs up if you can. And let me see, I missed something. China said, my pleasure, hit me up. We'll do a live with you whenever you're okay. That's awesome. Thank you so much. I will hit you up for sure. China gets hard subject. I appreciate that. So I'll say goodbye to you off the air. We'll see everyone very soon right here on the Helix Hour. Until next time, cheers.
Big love, everybody. Thank you.
Hey, EVH Gear TV and Eddie Van Halen fans. If you are like me, you find the time to read books difficult. Why not have it read to you? Grab one of three critically acclaimed Van Halen audiobooks, like Van Halen Rising by Greg Renoff, Running with the Devil by Noel Monk, or Everybody Wants Some by Ian Christie, available right now from Audible. Sign up for a free trial with zero obligation to get any one of these three audiobooks today. You can cancel if you wish after your trial membership expires and keep the book. There are many other great titles to choose from as well. Links in the description below, but just remember audibletrial.com/EVHCureTV. Click the link below and go grab your first free audiobook.
Thank you for listening to this edition of EVH and Gear TV. This episode is being brought to you in part by VanHalenStore.com. Shop VanHalenStore.com for the largest selection of official Van Halen merchandise and memorabilia. Be sure to check out our website at EVHGearDiscussion.com for more updates and follow us on social media.